one of the leaders here with Bradley. Bradley is away in India for mission, spreading the gospel there. We're hearing good testimonies there. Oh, thank you. Please pray for them. Pray for them for the gospel to be spread and to prevail in India. There's a whole team, Shofar from Shofar Cape Town, Table View from all across, that went to India just to on mission to spread the gospel. Yeah, so we thank you, Lord, for this. We thank you for the preaching of the gospel. And this week as well, we had a beautiful time of equipping. We'll talk about that when Rieta gives the announcements. Oh, this thing is too heavy. Okay, please hold this one for me. Thank you. All right, let me use the amplified version. Luke 15, verse 1. Now all the tax collectors and sinners, the amplified puts in brackets, including nine observant Jews. I want to take note of that. That's very important. In the normal English version, you won't get the full meaning of what sinners means. Amplified version actually puts it for you. Sinners in brackets, non-observant Jews. In other words, the Jews that didn't go to the synagogue, the Jews that didn't follow the rituals, go and sacrifice, go to the, you know, all the religious festivals, or those that didn't follow the moral code, they were called sinners. So a sinner in the Bible, in the Gospels was someone that did not follow or observe the Jewish religious systems as instituted by the law of Moses. Are we all good on that? All clear? It doesn't matter how good or how great you are, if you didn't follow the laws, you are called a sinner. And then there was a general divide between the ordinary person and then the people at the top in the society. At the top of the people that observed these laws were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Today, Pharisee and Sadducee is a negative word. But back in the day, it wasn't a negative word. It's a word equivalent to a priest and pastors in our day. Is that clear? Because they were the pastors, they were the religious leaders, they were the most holy people in society. They were the people that if you wanted direction about spiritual matters, you would go to them. And so today a Pharisee is a negative person because Jesus attacked them. And he says, you guys are hypocrites because you preach one thing, but you live the other thing. But your personal lives say another thing. So that's why today Pharisees and Sadducees have become a negative word. But in the day, I want you to imagine, in this day when Jesus was speaking, he was referring to them as the religious leaders of the day. So on one group, it says, now all the tax collectors and sinners. So there are two categories, tax collectors and sinners on this side, were coming near Jesus to listen to him. These tax collectors were actually coming and the sinners. Tax collectors, let me explain that. Tax collectors is like your Lutuli house. You would understand what I mean. Your corrupt officials. Those that get the money, tenders, they're supposed to build power generation at Eskom, they take the money and the country's in a mess. Okay, those are the kind of people that tax collectors back in the day were the people that will go and come and collect tax from you, then they'll keep some of the money. Then they'll give some of the money back to the government, the Roman government. So the people hated them for the corruption. That you take the money from us, you keep some of the money, you send the money to... They were just hated. They were just these people that, you know, nobody liked. So they were on one side and categorized together with the sinners. And then on the other side, Jesus says, and then it says, verse 2, that these were coming near to Jesus. Those ones that are corrupt, those ones that you wouldn't think, you know, shouldn't come to Jesus. The sinners that you wouldn't think, you know what, these are the worst of the worst. There's no point in preaching to these. And on one side, they were coming to Jesus. And then both the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers. So on the other side, there was Pharisees and the teachers. So I want you to imagine two categories of people. This side, the sinners and the tax collectors, the corrupt guys. The guys that nobody wants to, like, associate with. On this side is the teachers and the priests. So I want you to have that in your mind. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began muttering and complaining, saying, "This man accepts and welcomes sinners and eats with them." You can imagine if Jesus comes today and he goes to Lutuli house. That's not comfortable, right? I mean, for some of you who don't know what Lutuli house is. I won't go into details. But he goes to the corrupt politicians. That doesn't feel right. Like if Jesus was to come back again, instead of coming to the church people like you and me, the holy, the right people, he goes to the bad guys and he eats and dines with them and he's having parties with them. Doesn't feel right, right? It's not right. It doesn't feel right. And if you were there like back in the day, you would also start to complain. I'm like, something is wrong with this man. You must be with the good guys, not the bad guys. And they began to complain and says he accepts, not just being with them, he accepts and welcomes them and eats with them. Back in the day, eating with someone, having dinner with someone, coffee with someone, means that you approve, you accept them. It's actually a sign of acceptance. And so it didn't feel right. It didn't look right. It didn't feel right. It just wasn't right. And if you and me lived in that day, would also... So, see, when we read these things, we think these guys, these Pharisees and teachers were crazy. No. If you and me lived on that day, we would also be doing the same. We'd be like, no, man, that's not right. Don't you know? Don't you know we've got all this mess in this country because of these guys? Don't you know the mess that we are in? Don't you know how they've destroyed this? Don't you know how they destroyed the moral fiber of the country? Don't you know how they've opened to gays and corruption in the courts, and they called righteousness unrighteous, and unrighteousness, they've called it righteousness. And you go and eat with them? That's not right. I wanted to get that picture very clearly. This is actually the context in Luke 15. And therefore, so he told them, Jesus told them this parable. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he gets home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people we have no need of repentance. Can you feel it? Can you feel how stark and how sharp that message is? Because it seems to communicate that Jesus doesn't value righteousness. It seems to communicate that by going to these bad people, you don't really value the fact that I've lived a holy life, that we've tried to do our best to be nice, holy, and righteous. It kind of sends a subconscious message that says, you know what, that's not right. You should be coming to me. If God is to bless people with money, is to bless with cars, you must bless these on this side. If God, you are to be nice, if God, you are to bless me with a car, He should not be blessing those corrupt guys. Those corrupt guys, they should be dying. Lightning should be striking them. Not us. I must see the favor of God. Why I've worshipped God for all these years. That I must see the favor of God. But these guys, they mustn't see any favor of God. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? We just sang a song about the reckless love of God. The person who wrote that song read this scripture and realized, you know what? Jesus was reckless. He read this verse, like, you know what? This doesn't make sense. But he was reckless if you put yourself in the shoes of these guys and look at it from their perspective and look at from the perspective of the Father about this story, that he has to leave the 99 and go and find that one lost. That put themselves in these bad situations in the first place. And the parable of the prodigal son, it's the same thing. The guy took his money, all the inheritance, the pension that his father had worked for all these years. He takes that money and says, give me a portion, 50% of it. Let me go. And he goes partying and clubbing. He goes overseas. He does. And he spends all the fortune. And doesn't know it costs sweat and blood to build this world for all these years. And you just take it and you just waste it and just destroy it like that. It's not right. You see, it doesn't feel right. It is not right. It's something unsettling about that. And that's why that song says, if that song was written from the perspective of this guy, the prodigal son, that he has gone and squandered it all, the unrighteous, the sinner, the tax collector, and from the attitude of looking at the father's attitude, when he is the good guys on his side, and he decides instead to leave the good guys and go after the bad guy and be nice to the bad guy. It doesn't make sense. It's reckless. It's irresponsible. It just doesn't make sense. That's not how you teach kids morals. You've got to reward good stuff and punish bad things. That's not how you do it. You don't switch it like that. It's one of those unsettling. If you read it only from a moral story of learning about how not to squander the world, but if you read it from a different perspective of the father, you start to become unsettling. It just doesn't feel right. Why would Jesus do that? And this morning, it is a story that all of us needs to contend with. Can I have three young people? Three young people, just come, three young people. Quickly, eh? Yes, thank you. The young people, yeah, come, three. So the parable of the lost sheep is like this. Imagine these are very young. They are very young. They are my kids. I have three kids. Yes, thank you. I go to Century City in December. You know, Century City is like in December, right? Like shopping. Everyone is there. It's all over the place. Like Century. I go with my three kids. 2 years, 3 years, and 5 years. 2 years, 3 years, and 5 years. And the three-year one likes running and likes. And this is Century City. You know how crazy it can be in December. Then I come, my kids. I go shopping. So as I'm shopping, I get into this shop, I pick this, I get into this shop, then the three-year-old runs, run, go behind the girl. The three-year-old runs, and I'm not seeing it. I'm alone. I'm just with this. I'm not seeing it. I'm going. And after 10 minutes of going from shop to shop, I suddenly realize I only have two kids. I'm like, where is the other baby? And I don't even know at which point I lost the baby. I don't even know. I'm like, I've gone to shop X, shop B, shop, and there are thousands of people in this mall. Where do you start? Here is the reckless thing that the father does. He says, okay, you two stay here, okay? Don't move. Two-year-old, five-year-old, don't move. I will go to every shop I've been to. I'm looking for my baby. Can you see how reckless it is? Can you see there's something wrong with a father who leaves a two-year-old and a five-year-old going to look for a three-year-old that's just gone, you know? I'm like, how do you leave a two-year-old? What if in your, all sorts of things. You can imagine all sorts of things. It's reckless. It's irresponsible. That's the story here in Luke 15. It shows us that the love of God can be reckless in finding us when we are lost. Thank you. Take your seats. Thank you. Someone with 20 rand, 20, 10 rand, I'll give you back your money. Just any notes. Thank you. Any notes. Thank you. Anyone else? Another 20 rand or so? I want you to see this clearly, just very clearly. 10 rand, whatever amount of money, small amount of money you have. I want to demonstrate something. Okay, that's fine. That's enough. This is enough. Yes, thank you. So there's the parable of the, go to the other one, the parable of the, next slide, please, Adan. Yes, the parable of the lost coin. So the Bible speaks of a woman who had coins. Then one of the coins, you know coins, Moose. You drop a coin, it will run, it will go into the most obscure place that you can find. One coin disappears. And back then, this was the currency. They were not using these papers. So just imagine it's this kind of money. That was precious. And this one coin is probably worth 100 rand. Imagine that way. And so it's very important. She needs this coin. So what does she do? She takes everything upside down in the house and starts sweeping the whole house because she doesn't know where that coin is. She sweeps every corner. Some of the places that she hasn't swept for months, she has to go into every part, turn the bed upside down, sweep, because she's looking for a precious coin. Here is the story. Here is how you imagine this story. Luke 15, these are the three, four different stories. So imagine this way. I go to Pick and Pay there. Let's say somewhere like Belleville. Belleville there, by the shops there. Maybe shop like Belleville or one of the shops there. I go there, I'm gonna go buy, maybe Rieta has asked me to go buy something for church like this. I go there to the shop and this thing costs 72 rands for argument's sake. Okay, I've got 72 rand. For argument's sake, this thing costs 72 rand. Okay, there you go. So I take it, I'm on the till, I get queue and I get to the till, I start counting the money, right? So let's do this. Cool. I didn't see that it disappeared. Okay. So I start counting the money and I'm giving the till guy the money, 50, 60, 70, and now the 2 rand. Where is the 2 rand? So this is what I do. This is Belleville. You know how Belleville is like. Okay. This is Belleville. This is what I do. Right at the till there, I leave the money, saying I'm going to go find the 2 rand. I leave the 70 rand. I go find the 2 rand. Do you think when I come back, I'll find the 70 rand? Unlikely. This is how reckless this story, the message is. The parable of the lost coin. The point being, if you look at it differently, it's about the love of God, how he can be reckless in pursuing after us. If God had not done that, if God had not left the 2 kids in the mall to go after you, you wouldn't be here today. If God had not left the lost sheep, the 99, to go after the one, the sinner, the corrupt one, the one that everyone has given up, say these ones are, they put themselves in this situation. You see, someone said, this feels so reckless. God leaving the 99. God leaving the 99 to go after the one. It feels so reckless and so irresponsible and just so not so right. Until that one person who is lost is you. Then it's a whole different story. Because you're like, it's not right. You can't leave all these people just for one guy who just, decided they will just, be reckless and corrupt guys. And you are leaving these nice, holy people that have been faithful and true, and you are just going for this criminal. Like, it doesn't feel right. But turn it around, when the lost sheep is you, then the math suddenly makes sense. The math doesn't make sense when it's just people, it's just some lost sheep. But when that lost sheep is you, okay, That's a different story. That's a different story. So in this month of the harvest, I just wanted to share those simple stories with you. We all know them, we've read them, we grew up hearing them in Sunday school. The prodigal son, the lost sheep. Can you put the picture for the prodigal son? Yes, thank you. You can see this guy. He's hiding. In fact, if you could see, his hand is on his face. He's so ashamed to meet his father. He's lost. He's squandered. Like, he can't even face his dad because of what he has done with his life. And I want you to know that the love of God, God will kick every wall. He will break every lie. He will break every stronghold to reach out to you. There is no wall, there's nothing that will stand on his way when Jesus says, I want to reach thee. And that's so much, that's how strong and how great his love is for us. Sometimes we forget that we are here because God snatched us. We forget that God had to go to extents. I've got friends, I've got colleagues, I've got people that I went to high school with. Some of them are dead today, literally dead. They've been killed. Sometimes we forget that the Lord had to go to an extent to fetch me. Sometimes some of us, it's our parents or grandparents that the Lord had to save so that we could also be found in the right place. And this morning, I wanted to reflect on that. I wanted to reflect on that for a moment. How good is love? If God's love can break every barrier just for you, it doesn't matter what you are going through or what you feel or what you don't have. He has already proved his love. Look at that picture again. Where are you here? Whilst you are still afar off, the father ran and hugged you. That's not what you and me would do to a reckless guy that squandered all the pension, half the pension. That's not what we will do. That's definitely not how we think or how we think. And my question is, in this story, where are you? I want to put yourself in this story and ask yourself, where are you in this story? Can you place yourself and find yourself in the, are you in the father? Where are you? Are you the prodigal? Can we just go back to the first slide? Let's just run through this. The first one, is it the first one? Where are you here? Are you the 99 or are you the lost sheep? Next. Sure. Are you part of the coin or are you the lost coin that has been found? Can you see the joy in her face when she found the lost coin? That's what happens with the father. That's what happened when God finds a sinner that was lost and brings the joy of finding that one lost coin. Are you part of the existing coins, or are you part of the lost coin? Maybe let's just stand there and let's just speak there just for a moment. If you are here and you know that your life is not right with God, you know that you are the lost sheep, you are the lost coin. You know that you used to be part of the other coins, you used to be part of the sheepfold. You used to be, you knew that, you know, you were nice, you were righteous, you were part of the 99. You know that you have squandered your life somehow. You know that you are not where you are supposed to be. You know that your life doesn't have a meaning right now. You know what you have done, and you are ashamed of it, but you know the hug that the Father is willing to welcome you with. we are not blaming you. We are saying the Father has open arms to speak, to accept you this morning. If you are such, I would like to pray with you. Please raise your hand. I would like to pray with you to get back to the Father's arms. You want to give your life to Jesus again. You want to recommit your life to God and say, I was a lost sheep. If you are there, you are saying, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I'm the lost sheep. Thank you, Sam. Whew, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are here. Keep playing. Here's the thing. When we are part of the 99, we don't see the value of the lost coin because we are safe in the 99. We don't see the value of going after the lost sheep because we are safe in the 99. But this morning, I want you to open your eyes to the fact that God is pursuing the lost sheep. God is pursuing the lost coin. God is pursuing the prodigal son. The prodigal son is all around you. It could be a family member. It could be your neighbor. It could be a stranger. It could be a workmate. It could be a stranger you meet at Pick and Pay, at Spa. It could be someone that you know that this one has caused so much pain to you, to your life, to the country, some corrupt politician. God is looking for that one. And you can either say, can I have the slide of the prodigal son? You can either sit down and identify yourself. On this picture, I want you to know that it's not only the father who represents God and the prodigal son who represents the lost, but there's also the elder brother that's watching everything. And the elder brother is that person with an attitude that says, I've served you, God. I've been in church for so long. I didn't do drugs. I didn't do parties. I didn't do alcohol. I've been nice. I deserve this inheritance. You should bless me. You should do this to me. I am entitled to this. But as for this one, no, God. No, God. Sometimes, as the 99, instead of having the father's heart, that's one to welcome the sinner, the lost, that's one to open our arms to the one that's been abusing drugs, that's been doing this, that's been corrupt, that's been this. We are watching there like, nah, that's not right. That's not right. In your heart, you just know in your attitude, I don't like him. I don't like my brother. He's just irresponsible. He squandered all the wealth of the family. I don't like him. We can be the elder brother who just has this negative attitude. We can think about the things that this guy has squandered and not think about the soul that could be lost eternally for hell. We can think about the things that these guys have put and messed our country into, but not think about this guy whose soul is likely to go to hell for eternity. We can think about the temporary issues that we are seeing right now, the temporary mess that we are seeing in this person, but not think about the eternal value of this coin, the eternal value of this lost sheep, the eternal value of this lost man. Sometimes when you have stayed in church for a long time, we can become entitled. We can have an attitude that says, these guys, I'm not going to get close to them. This guy, we know the story when the father brought him and says, let's make a party for him. This guy was not impressed. The elder brother was not impressed. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to have any of that. I've served you but never thrown a party for me. You never blessed me. You never thrown a car or this for me. But as for this guy that's been irresponsible, now you are blessing him. Now you are making a party for him. You are giving him this. That's not fair, God. That's not fair. That's just not fair. I'm not interested. You can drag your feet. Or you can say, you know what? I will be the mature. I will just be like the father. My brother was lost. Now he is found. I will embrace him with a bold love and big arms. And I'll say, you were lost. And you were lost because of your own decision, your own choices. But here you are. Your soul is much important than the decisions that you made that got you into this place. Pray that in this harvest month, our hearts may be stirred up to look at the people with an eternity mindset. When you walk into that spa, when you walk into that Pick and Pay, to look at that till operator with an eternity mindset. Look at that person that's been mean to you, that has not been nice to you, and look at them with an eternity mindset. That yes, this is an inconvenience to me, my expectations, my rights. But I'll look at this soul and say, this soul, their value, intrinsic value, because they were made by the image of God. And that intrinsic value should not burn in hell. That intrinsic value should be in heaven. And therefore, I should share the gospel with them. And therefore, I should open my eyes and love them and share the love of Christ with them. It's so easy to be offended by sinners. It's so easy to be offended when someone walks in here who doesn't look and feel, who looks dirty and like that guy who has made bad choices in life and they've gotten themselves into all this mess. And you know what? That's not my thing. Let me have my way. I'm just going to ignore. It's so easy. I mean, that's human nature. All of us. Older brother, me included. All of us, if we have been in the house, saved faithfully, we did not do anything wrong. And then this guy who has done all the wrong things, he's been given VIP treatment. It's not fair. My mind, everything in me, just, I'm like, it's not fair, God. It's not fair. But this morning, I want you to know that that's what grace is. That's what grace is. Grace is this unmerited favor. That's what love is. Love, it is this recklessness of God where he brings up the sinner that is lost, who was a wretch. Amazing grace, how great thou art. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was a wretch, I was this. But you did not look at my condition, but you reached out to me and you saved me. Lord, I pray this morning that every one of us may be made aware again of your saving grace, your love, and that you may also become the conduits of your love, of your grace, and that you may be able to extend your grace and bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and share with them your love, your grace, and not look at them like the elder brother, and not look at this lost as the elder brother, but that we may be open to what you are doing in Boston. Thank you that you say it, Lord, that you want to bring families in Boston. And thank you for mending our hearts to be open, to be much more open to families. Families, good and bad, those that are tax collectors and those that are sinners and those that have been part of the 99 law. So that our hearts and our attitude can be turned and can be purified and become like God. Thank you that, Lord, you are doing this thing and we want to partner with you and rejoice and be a joy to you, Lord. Mend our hearts where our expectations fell short, where we expected you to do something and you did not do it, Lord, where we became bitter and angry in our hearts because we expected you to do A, B, C, but it didn't happen. Help us, Lord, not to be angry. Help us not to be bitter. Help us to forgive ourselves, to forgive God, and to forgive the younger brother. Lord, help us to forgive you where we think you disappointed us, where we think you have not been true to what you said, and where we think you have been unjust and reckless and just not fair. Forgive us. Forgive us and give us a new heart. Give us a new day. Give us a heart of gold where we'll be able to overcome everything that rises up in our minds and see things with the heart of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you that, Lord, you don't need our permission, Lord, to save the lost. You don't need our permission to welcome the elder brother. We give you permission in our church, in Shofar Boston. We give you permission to move and to do whatever you want. Yeah, just do it, Lord. We don't know how it will look like in the days that lie ahead, the weeks that lie ahead. But mend our hearts. We give you permission to say, do it, even when we are not comfortable with it. Do it, because you want to save the lost. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many were helped? How many felt quite helpful. Okay, thank you. And Richard, thank you so much for bringing a friend. That's actually the example of what it means, that picture, that last picture there, what it means is Richard came to me and said, I spoke to a friend, and I need to go pick them up. And I'm like, what is fuel? What is a car? Take my car, drive to Cryfontein, wherever you have to, go pick up the person, bring them to church. That's what it means to leave the 99 and extend the love of God. Thank you, Richard. Clap hands for him. Clap hands for him. Let's clap hands for him. And thank you, friend, for also being brought, allowing to be brought. So I just want to share about, maybe I'll share the video on the, can you play that video for us? And then I'll let Creator do the rest of the announcements. So we've started an equipping, you can pause. We started an equipping grow group last week, Thursday. We'll be doing it every second Thursday. So this week it's cell groups. And then this week, if you are available, please come to the office on Thursday at 6 so we could step out and go and practice what we learned on Thursday. You will have someone to coach you. If you have never done it, you've never shared the gospel with someone, we are there to help each other grow. It's much more easier as a team support. So, but the formal, these are the informal sessions every Thursday, but the formal sessions is every second Thursday, the week where we don't have cell groups. So we're going to start to have the life groups every 2 weeks now going ahead. While this grow group is running. So the first, this week, it's life group. The following week, it's grow group. The following week, life group, alternating like that. So just to show you what we did, just play that video for the first session that we had. We called it Life GPS because we are focusing on the harvest, on evangelism, on how to equip each one of us for the gospel. Can you just play that video, please? Thank you. Thank you, Sam, for that video. Sam made that video, just a short clip, just to show. So please join. Please, you're invited every second Thursday. If you can't make it, that's still fine. If you can make it, just come and we have a good time equipping each other for winning the lost. So that's what we are up to this month, and maybe for the month of November as well, in terms of equipping, I think up to the first week of December. But this is what we are. So you're welcome, everyone that's new. Please feel free. Feel free to be yourself. No obligations to any of this. Just enjoy church, and you're welcome. Beautiful. We're going to have coffee after this, but I'm going to hand over to Rieta just to give us the announcements for the week, and then after that, we're going to have coffee and enjoy and fellowship each other. Please come and talk to me if there's something that's in your heart regarding what we shared, or if you need prayer, please come forward. We'll pray with you, and we'll pray for you. If you are sick in body or any sort of prayer you need, please come forward, and we'll pray for you. Rieta, over to you.